God of all our days. You know, as seasons change, He stays the same. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And He is certainly the faithful one. And can I get a loud amen out there? Well, good morning, everyone. God bless every one of you. Just want to give a shout out to all you moms out there and ladies on Mother's Day. Remember, charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the word from Proverbs. And I wanted you to know that I'm grateful and so thankful for each one of you. Have an amazing day today. Well, if you haven't already heard or haven't done this, can you quickly grab some communion emblems, some juice or drink, and some wafer or bread? Really felt as God impressed this word on my heart today that we would take communion together, and I'll get back to that in a bit, but if you could do that right now, that would be awesome. Also, you notice on your screen there's a live prayer tab, a live chat, and you can click on that at any time and have a private prayer conversation with somebody, and I encourage you to do that. These people are waiting to pray with you. Well, this last week was our National General Conference of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And it's interesting to note the theme was chosen at least a year ago, but it's interesting given the circumstances of our world. The theme for our conference this year, which of course we had to do online, was simply this: it's time. It's time. And now, is that not significant? And I believe that this is a great time to reset and reaffirm our church family's commitment to Jesus and to the gospel, that when things change and we get back together, that our whole mission and drive and passion for our city and for the lost and for the Great Commission and for God's kingdom would be completely reset in the days ahead. It's also been a great time for me, your pastor, to reset myself and reaffirm my commitment to God and to the gospel. And I look forward to sharing more about that with you, about what God's been speaking to my life personally in the days ahead. And I trust that you too, that you personally are using this opportunity to reset yourself and to really redefine and reaffirm your commitment to faith and to Jesus and to the valuable things that He has in your life, that you would make those priorities in these days. I'd like to give us a question today to meditate on. It's a good question, and I'd like to just simply say this to you. Why am I a person of faith? Why am I a person of faith? I'd like you to think about that. And maybe an alternate kind of question to go along with it is this: who have I believed in? You know, who am I believing in? Who am I targeting my faith towards? You know, think back on your journey of faith. This morning, just sort of take a reminisce backwards and think about faith. You know, where was God and your faith? You know, where did these intersect back in your life? You know, maybe years ago, maybe months ago, but where did faith really take shape where you committed your life to God and you began to believe and receive His forgiveness of your sin? You know, where did God transform you and put you on the track for eternal life? I'd like you to consider that and think back to that today and meditate on that. You know, myself, as a young man, I remember even before I understood who God was, or even that there was something I needed to know about God, when I was 10 years old, I had obviously sleepwalked in the middle of the night, and I found myself in the kitchen when I woke up, and I was huddled on the floor against a wall in the back of the kitchen, and I was crying, and I heard this audible voice calling out to me, Ricky, come here. Rick, come here. Now, before any of you get curious about that, my mom and my daughter, or my sister, used to call me Rick or Ricky. But don't go anywhere with that. My name's Rich. And Back then, I heard this voice audibly, folks. It wasn't in my mind. It wasn't a thought. It was an audible voice calling to me. And so I went into my dad and mom's bedroom. And when I went in there, I said, "What do you want?" And I woke them up. They hadn't been calling me. Now, I never, you know, they told me to go back to bed. I left that. I never thought about it again. Until when I was in here in Prince George in later life, when I was really in a time of really searching God and my calling in life and what my calling was. And I remember distinctly God speaking to me, and he said, "Do you remember back when you were 10 years old in your kitchen and you heard a voice calling you out to you?" And I said, "Yes, I do remember that." And God spoke into my spirit and said, "That was me." You see, it was God calling me at that time, and I didn't know. I didn't have a clue it was him. And when I was 13 years old, 3 years later, is when God really intersected us with a family. We had moved from Surrey to Aldergrove, and we met this family and actually two families of Christians, of people of faith, and started going to church. And one Sunday, 13 years old, after church, I went into my room at home by myself, and I knelt at my bed, and I asked God. I said, "You know, Jesus, I believe in you, and I need you in my life." And I surrendered my life, and I committed my sins to God, and God came into my life. 2 years after that, when I was 15 years old, was when I can look back and say that was a pillar in my life. 15 years old, traveling with our youth group across the province and doing a musical and a drama. And at one point, the college student that would come with us and he would do a mini sermon at the end of our musical and have an altar call couldn't come. And they said to us all, like, "Who would like to do that?" And I immediately put up my hand and said, "I'll do that." And I preached my first 5-minute, you know, choked up, you know, stuttering, kind of fighting my way through this appeal, and one person raised their hand, and I felt in that moment a call of God in my life to preach. You know, it was also that year that a friend of mine and myself had gotten really serious about God, and we pursued God, and we told people about Jesus, and we worshiped Jesus, we read our Bible, and we studied our Bible, and we just encouraged one another, and prayed with one another, and prayed for others. It was that year that God really got a hold of my life. And then when I was 18 years old, Bible college group came to our church, and I just knew in my spirit that God was calling me to go to Bible college. A few years after that, I struggled, and I sort of veered away from the path that God had called me and was leaning more towards the path I had chosen previously to go into the RCMP. And I remember that time, making a long story short, where I lost my fingers at work, and God spoke into my spirit and said, "It's time." And I enrolled, you know, I got married, enrolled in Bible college and everything in a very short period of time. And the rest is history, a lot of journeys since then till now. But, you know, this is part of my story and journey. And I looked back at that journey, and I looked back at those times when I was 10 and 13 and 15 and 18. And I realized that God's call on my life and the salvation and the faith story go way back into my history, because God's eye was always on me. He was always preparing me to come to salvation. He was always preparing me for the calling that he had for my life. And I would say to you today, when you look back to your story, can you see God's footprints? Can you see God's imprint on your life? And can you see how God was with you in all of those circumstances of your life to this day, today, when we gather online with one another? You know, I look back, and I hope you can look back right now, and you can say, "Thank God for coming into my life. Thank God for calling me to salvation. Thank God for having that calling on my life." And I really felt in my spirit that we would take communion today and we would once again remember what God has done to give us our faith and to give us eternal life and to transform our lives and put His call in our lives to do more than just live for this world, but to do eternal things for the kingdom of God. You know, this is what the Word of God says to us, and this is God's Word to you today. See what great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. Oh, can you hear those words? God loves you. The Father loves you, and He's called you His child. You are a child of God today. Such we are. What great three words to resound in our spirit today. We are children of God. 1 John 4:16 tells us, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. I look back at my story and you look back at your story today. Do we realize and do we know that God loved us so much that He gave us life and He redeemed us in our sin? Galatians 2:20 tells us this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. You see, each of us have come to faith in God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for our sin, for our punishment, so that we could be redeemed back to His Father, so that we could have abundant life and we could have eternal life. He saved us. What a God, what a God who loves us. And we know this by faith. We have faith in Jesus and we have faith in His love for us. And we have faith that He gave Himself up for us. We all can probably quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the promise for you today in your faith and for me. John 15, greater love is no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love than that Jesus would lay His life down for you and for me. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, you take the communion emblems that you have before you. And I was thinking, you know, the World Health Organization, I don't know if you noticed, but their symbol is actually a pole with a serpent wrapped around it. And it immediately takes you to this time of history when the World Health Organization is so predominant in our news and in trying to find a cure for this COVID and stuff like that. But isn't it interesting that that would be their symbol? Because if you think back into the Old Testament, when people spoke out against God and Moses, God sent serpents upon them. And the serpents would bite them, and when they were bitten, they would die. And Moses intercedes to God on their behalf. And God says, well, make a bronze serpent, set it up on a pole, and when a person is bit, get them to look at the pole of the serpent on the pole, and they'll live. And that's exactly what happened. When people were bit, they'd look up at the serpent that had been lifted up on a pole. And they would realize that the serpent is there, that their punishment was there. And in the New Testament, when Jesus hung on the cross, we could look to Jesus as the one where our sin was upon Him, and we could find that our sin had been paid for, and our eternal death, their separation from God, was taken care of on the cross. I'd like you to take your emblems right now, the cup and the bread, and I'd like you to hold them. And our worship team is going to lead us in a song as we just meditate for a moment on Christ, the song in Christ alone. Because without Christ and without what he has done, without our faith in him, we have no hope, no future. But it's in him alone that we find hope and future. This is what our story is really about, isn't it? Our look back on our faith story, we look at our story today, it's all intertwined and all connected to Jesus and Jesus' love for us and his death for us. Let's just pause with our emblems and let's consider Jesus as we worship him together in this song. I think about my story again, and I think about your story, and I think about Jesus and all that he's done for us, and the emblems really signify and help us to remember, you know, that God loves us, and he gave everything for us to redeem us. I take the bread, you know, his body that was broken for us and the punishment that was took and put upon him. And so grateful today for what God has done. And just as we reflect for a moment on our journey and what he's done for us personally, you know, just pause, think about that, and together let's celebrate. Let's thank God for what he's done, and let's take of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment, and would you express your thanks to the Lord for his body? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Wonderful Lord. Thank you, Savior. God, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise your name. We take the cup today, reminding ourselves that Jesus' blood is the one that saves us, cleanses us from all our sin, makes us whole, white, pure before God, redeems us. And let's celebrate that for the life that it gives to us day after day after day. Let's take it together. Thank you, God. Once again, would you just join me in expressing gratitude for God for dealing with our sin and cleansing us and giving us life? Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We exalt you, God. We thank you. We bless you. Oh, we adore you. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for my sin. And God, we thank you today for these emblems. We thank you as a reminder of the victory and the great power that was at work in the cross. And thank you for coming into each of our lives and intersecting our lives so that, God, we would be redeemed, that we would have our sin dealt with, and we would have a journey of faith that we can live our lives, God, in this world today because you've given us spiritual life. And we have a hope, God, of eternal life. And we thank you for that today. And we give you praise. We give you honor. And we individually, each of us as individuals, God, give you thanks for coming into our lives and redeeming us. Thank you so much, God. We thank you in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to leave a scripture with you today. I think that was really the scripture that God gave me this week for you. And I want you to be encouraged by this. It's in Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor COVID-19, no illness, no struggle, no anxiety, no separation, no isolation, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. He loves us. He loves me. Would you say that to yourself right now? He loves me. Well, church, live prayer is still going to be open for the next few minutes. Take advantage of that. But would you have a blessed, peaceful, and a joy-filled week. We'll see you soon. God bless you.